There's a text here in Proverbs, and go from there. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6 is our text for tonight. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? But a faithful man, who can find? The Bible emphasizes here the rarity, the unusual rarity of a faithful person. The unusual rarity of a faithful person. We are reminded, of course, and we'll get there, Matthew chapter 25, the words of our Savior. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Reminded that the Lord's work is entrusted and needs should be only entrusted to faithful people. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. But the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know, what about life? We sang tonight about it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And I think that today, the understanding that one of the precious, precious things in a Christian's life is to be found faithful. One of the precious things. If it could be said at the end of your life that you were a faithful person, that would be those would be words that were much desired. You know, think about faithfulness in life. You know, we use that word very appropriately in important ways. You know, you can have a faithful employee. Someone who just sticks by the stuff. Some employee that just does what's right. You know, he rolls with the punches of life. And they're just steady. You know, faithful employee. They're going to be there on time. Finish the job. They're just going to be steady. You know, in life, think about it. A faithful husband. A faithful wife. That's pretty important, isn't it? Faithfulness. You know, that word is a pretty important word, isn't it? Faithful. You know, I think of the fact that, you know, the Lord, Jesus said, I'll build my church. You know, that's God's institution. But, you know, the bottom line of a church is all about faithful people. That's the bottom line of a church. Faithful people. You know, most men will proclaim every man his goodness, but a faithful man who will find? You know, and of course, Nathan's at the beginning of a task there in South Africa. And there was a man, one man that was left and he asked them, Overmillers and Robertses, to help rebuild that church. One man left. And he hasn't been in church in 6 weeks. He's the treasurer. Hadn't been in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, where is he? Nobody knows. Not a faithful man. What can you do with an unfaithful man? You can't do anything with an unfaithful man. It's impossible for the Lord's work to be done with an unfaithful man. You know, you got somebody who shows up once in a while. You can't do anything with a person that shows up once in a while. You know, that just isn't how life works. You know, you have to have faithful people. The church is built on faithful people. That's how God's work is done. It always has been done that way. Faithful people. And one of the greatest things could ever be said of a Christian, that they were a faithful Christian. They were a faithful church member all their life. That is what a church is built on. A church is built on faithful people. You can depend on them. They're reliable. They are consistent. They are predictable. They are usable. They are available. They're faithful people. You know, you may not, not everybody has all the same abilities, but everybody has the ability to be faithful. Everybody has the ability to be faithful. Now, as we look at a couple passages about faithfulness tonight, I'd like to perhaps help us in this very important issue of faithfulness. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25 for a minute. And here we have the parable of the talents. And of course, we recognize that talents in the Bible were coins, were currency of the day. They really represent the gifts and abilities that God gives a person. And many of those gifts and abilities are given at birth. But notice here, verse 20, we have the different people. And verse 20, and so he that had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Notice the principle there. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Notice the key in God's work is faithfulness. That's the key. You've been faithful in a few things. Make thee ruler over many things. You know, what is the core principle here that's taught? It kind of struck me as I was on the plane coming back from Amsterdam to Chicago, and I had the privilege of sitting next to a Jewish immigrant from Moscow, from Russia. He's been here for 25 years. And we were talking, and he has three master's degrees. Master's degree in finance, a master's degree in mathematics, a master's degree in mechanical engineering or electrical engineering. He has a son that placed 8th on the entrance exam at MIT. But he wasn't allowed to go in because he was white. And they had racial profiling there. But we had quite a conversation, and I start learning about himself. I learned about his wife. And you know, I was just astounded. I just was reminded of how Jewish people have been gifted by God. Jewish people have been gifted by God. The most brilliant people in the world are Jewish. And, you know, God gave them their brains. I'm sure it was nothing for this guy to get 3 master's degrees. He says, yeah, every 10 years I get a new master's degree. And, you know, but he had no time for God. He had no time for God. Now, he did say when he was in Russia, he would go to the synagogue twice a year. But if the authorities found out about it, he'd never be able to go to university. So he was kind of a very, very nominal Jew and really, but I sat there and I started thinking, you know, you always think about what you should have said, you know? And I was thinking about Jesus as he spoke to the Jews in his day about how God, you know, made this wonderful vineyard and gave this wonderful vineyard to his servants and he was going to come back and they were to give account and they didn't want to give account and eventually they killed the king's son. And I thought about, you know, here's a man doesn't even think that God isn't even thankful. You'd think that a person would think, man, God gave me something that other people don't have. And that's true, Jewish people, that you'd want to serve God, right? That you'd be conscious of God. That you'd be humble, right? Man, I am privileged. And here we see that that is taught here. Is what is the spirit of thankfulness? I mean, what is the spirit of faithfulness? I think it's the spirit of thankfulness. A spirit of thankfulness. I have been given these things by God. God has given me these abilities. You know, what is the person that has all these abilities and they do so little for God? You know, I was talking to Brother Wilhite, and he was talking about the 50th reunion at Maranatha, and they had a concert put on by all these singing groups that went out from the college all those years, and they had a concert, and you know, I said to him, well, how many of all those people who, you know, that was the big thing. You know, those were the heroes of the campus. The people went on the singing groups, you know, and they went on the tours, and, you know, they had all the abilities, and they represented the school. Well, I didn't have any problem about ever being invited to that because I couldn't sing, and wasn't in all this other stuff. I said, Jerry, how many of those people are serving God today? How many of those people are serving God? And I said to him, you know, I know 2 men that they didn't go on the singing groups. They were never on this or that, or they weren't, they didn't go here and they didn't go there. I know 2 men, Paul Hoover, Mark Ermler. They spent their summers and every Sunday being faithful to their local church. They were in the bus ministry. They were in the soul winning ministry. They didn't go here, they didn't go there, and they go on big trips, and they were, you know, nobodies. They were just faithful. I think of the graduates of Maranatha, I think of two of the top guys, Paul Hoover Mark Ermler, still serving God. You know why? Because their life was based on our duty is to be faithful to the local church. You use your talents in the local church. You use your talents in the local church. And, you know, if you have a lot of talents, you have to realize they came, you got them from God. Now, I didn't have any problem about, I never had to worry about fame. I never had to worry about being a big shot. I never had to worry about, having all these abilities. I just didn't have it. But you know, some people have lots of abilities. And somehow they, some people with lots of abilities, somehow they don't have that spirit that makes them a faithful person. Now some, praise God, do. I think it's the spirit of thankfulness. God gave me this ability. It's special. He's entrusted me. He's given me a stewardship. That's an important principle. God's given me a stewardship. I'm going to use it for God because He is the one that gave it to me to serve Him. That's a very, very important principle. You know, that's the purpose of our school. Did you know that? One of the purposes. One of the purposes of our school, and always has been, and it will not change, is that we are supposed to develop our lives and our abilities for one reason. To serve Jesus Christ. And one of the duties of life is to take every advantage that is offered to us to develop our lives so that we can serve God. Not to do so would be like this person who had one talent. And he said, Lord, verse 23, I knew that thou wast a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. In other words, you're a hard man. You're going to hold me accountable for this thing that I've been given. Now it shows a bad attitude towards God, right? Rather than thankful, has a bad attitude towards God. Has a bad attitude about this responsibility. Has a bad attitude about, hey, use your talents for God. Develop your life for God. Serve God with your life. Don't put some pressure on me. And a bad attitude about God. Wow. And what does the Lord say about that man? Verse 26, and he answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou wicked and slothful servant. He didn't say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, thou wicked and slothful servant. Let's go to another place in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a very important verse in the Bible. I think it's very important in the world in which we live today. And, it is a rarity to serve God in these last days. But the fact is there are some that are serving God that are doing more harm than good. There are some that are serving God that are doing more harm than good. Because they aren't faithful people. They're not faithful to the Word of God. And it'd be better off if they weren't in the ministry. As much as we love the ministry. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. What is the root idea of this? There's a lot of root ideas, but I think one of the root ideas is the idea of submission. Robert Teachout was my Hebrew professor in seminary. And, of course, Hebrew class wasn't just about Hebrew. It was about the Word of God. And he would often say to us, he says, now, if you're not going to obey the Bible, then you shouldn't be preaching. If there's something in the Bible that you that comes and hits you between the eyes, you better obey it. Otherwise, you're not qualified to preach. And there's a principle here. A faithful man is a person who's not going to change the Bible. You know what? They're not going to change God's word because a close loved one, it condemns them. They aren't going to change their message because someone that they love is doing that thing, and they don't want to be unpopular with that loved one that's doing that thing, be rejected in their family. You know, it costs something to obey God. It costs something. You know, a faithful person, and I said the key there is submission. A person who obeys God no matter what the cost. A faithful man. They're going to obey God no matter what the cost. And there's so many applications to that. Submission to God. You know, if you're submitted to God, that makes you reliable. That makes you dependable. You know, I would say that it's kind of a typical test. I'm looking for people that I can depend on. I'm looking for people who will respond to the Bible. I remember one preacher boy, was at teaching at BCM. And he says, you know, something that made a big impression upon my life was we would go to church and the preacher would preach. And my dad would come home and he says, you know, with Pastor preached today, we got to make some changes in our house. That's the root of a faithful man. They're submitted to God's word. You can depend on a person who is submitted to what God says. A faithful man always comes out on God's side of the issue. They are not influenced by their friends, their loved ones, what's easy. You know, a lot of Christians are just friend Christians. Everything is about their friends. No, Christianity is about Christ. Christianity is about obeying the Bible. You know, I say, if you want to know who your friends are, I've used this illustration. Kneel at the cross. Kneel at the cross. Deny yourself. Do what's right. And then just kind of look around, see who's kneeling there with you. Now you know who your friends are. And so the key of faithfulness is the idea of submission. Under God's authority. They're predictable. They're going to do what God says. They're going to obey the Bible. Doesn't matter what the cost is. You can depend upon them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's another important truth. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 1, of course, it says, let a man account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, a steward is someone who has been entrusted with someone else's goods. Now, with the talents and gifts, we realize that, yes, God gives those gifts, but those gifts are that person's gifts. And we talked about how they respond to God with that. But here is someone that's been trusted with something that isn't theirs. Something that entrusted with that's not theirs. Let me ask you a question. Do you treat somebody else's things with a higher regard than how you treat your things? I mean, how do you drive your dad's car versus how you drive your car? How do you wash? Do you wash your dad's car or do you wash your car? You know what I mean? How do you take care of something that doesn't belong to you? You know, I remember years ago, someone says, you know, your church, they cut a lot of firewood. And so you need to buy this chainsaw. We bought a chainsaw. I was a little leery of it. You know why? Because it isn't very normal for God's people to take care of church property very good. I never know what happened to that chainsaw. I don't have any idea. Because typically, not always, some people really have the right spirit. But typically people don't take care of God's things. But if it was theirs, so I always felt like, well, we'll have the chainsaws. They'll get fixed that way. They'll be running. When we need them, they'll be running. Now we recognize that, you see, there's an issue here of what it takes to be a faithful person. Well, it's really a faithful person who's going to take care of something that doesn't belong to them. And it really is, it seems like it shouldn't work this way, but it's really a faithful person who really takes care of God's things. You know what I mean? God's things. They're really particular about taking care of God's things. Whatever it might be, you know, lights left on. Hey, that's God's money. Some people think, no problem. Let all the street lights be on all night. You know, who cares, you know? Wait a minute. That's God's money. We got to be careful about God's money. So here we find, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, what does it take to take care of God's things? Now let's think about some things that belong to God. We illustrated it in physical things, but let's think about some things that belong to God. Holy Bible. Huh. That means it belongs to God, right? Holy Bible. What about the tithe? The tithe is holy. You know that? The tithe is holy. You know who it belongs to? God. What about the church? Who owns the church? God. God. Wow. Something that belongs to someone else. There has to be an awe of God. There has to be an awe to be faithful. There has to be an awe that says, I'm going to give account to that which belongs to God. And you can think of the issue because in a lot of Christianity, tithe means nothing. You know what I mean? Church is nothing. Church is to serve me, it's not God's institution. Then let's think of another thought, last thought. What are the key issues? And maybe I put in one other one, added to it. Faithfulness, the key to faithfulness is not only submission and not only thankfulness, not only the awe of God, but faithfulness must be a goal of our life. It has to be the goal of our life. That when my life is over, I want to be known as a faithful Christian. Dependable, reliable, trustworthy, steady. Goal of life. Now, think about it. It's not an easy task. Because guess what? At any time in life, we can lose it. We can lose the title of faithful. We could be a person that goes to church every Sunday for 5 years in a row, 10 years in a row, 15 years in a row, and all of a sudden we get to a point in our life and we start going to church less. Now the pastor doesn't know if they're going to show up or not. They just lost faithfulness, didn't they? They just lost it. They're no longer faithful. It shows us why this is a rarity. Because life is full of distractions. Life is full of dangers. Life is full of difficult decisions. Life is full of enemies of the devil that are there to get us off the path. Now, just some four simple thoughts here. What are keys to faithfulness? Daily in God's word. Blessed is a man that walks not in the seat in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, each one of those are choices. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay? What does it take to keep you from reading your Bible? Early fishing trip, early in the morning. I've learned that human nature, boy, there's something to do. Man, it's no problem getting up at 4 o'clock for a fishing trip or whatever it is, you know. But get up in the morning, read your Bible. Wow. Every day. What will keep? Read your Bible every day. That's the key. Keep your heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left hand. You know, is your heart essential thing of your life? Keeping your heart right with God. I think my wife's illustration was really good. She goes in South Africa, long trip, you know, on the plane. And you know what? She's human. Her body didn't feel too spiritual. She didn't, soul wasn't too spiritual. That's real. What'd she do? Prayed, and she got into God's Word. That's what you do. You pray and get in God's Word. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. All sorts of things that take away our heart. 2 Corinthians 12:9, God's grace. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, life is full of trials. Life is full of troubles. Life is full of sorrows. Life is full of temptations. What's the key? Learning to get God's grace. You know what? There is no excuse for any of us. God's grace is available. Always is available. God's grace. You know, a verse that's been that convicts me often. It's found in the book of Proverbs, and this is what it says: "If thy strength fail in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If thy strength fail in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's what God says. The key of being faithful is learning that God's grace is always available, always sufficient. Always, you know, the faithful person gets God's grace. You know, we want to be faithful. Be in God's house every service. Now I realize that I'm not just saying, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going in a garage makes you a car. You come to church, that doesn't make you a Christian. Going to the bank doesn't make you a banker. I realize it's in your heart. And it's got to be in your heart. But that's God's institution. Period. They that they plant it in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the gates of our God. You believe that? I believe it. I believe it. God's institution. But there's also the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the Great Commission. You want to be a faithful person, the Great Commission will keep you faithful. The Great Commission will keep you faithful. Great Commission will keep you close to God. The Great Commission will keep you humble. The Great Commission will keep you praying. The Great Commission will keep you on the right focus of your life. The Great Commission will cause you to need God's power. The Great Commission will keep your focus in life right. I mean, there's so many things that we could say. You can almost... It's just that's the way it works. The Great Commission is such an important thing. It's God's marching orders for us as believers. Now just watch a person. They stop witnessing. They stop out passing out tracts, et cetera. I guess, you know what? Guess what? Something's big happened in their life. They got their focus off. They got their purpose off. They got their direction off. The greatest thing that could be said of a person the greatest thing that could be said of a church member. They were faithful. They were faithful. I was talking to Pastor King, I think. And I said that to him. I said, you know, I think a lot of people, they've lost sight of what's important in life. And one of the things that's important in life is to be faithful. And when the end of your life, to be found faithful. It's a simple rule, isn't it? A simple principle. But it's very significant. Very, very significant. And I think that what we have found in the Bible is that those were the most precious words of the Savior at the judgment seat. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Want to be ready to meet the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Dependable, reliable, steady, enduring, continuing, etc. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're faithful. Faithful is he that has called us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Oh, we can count on God. He is faithful, not allow us to be tempted above which we are able. We just count on the fact that God is faithful. And our whole life is based on the fact that he is faithful. And Lord, one of those characteristics that you require and that shows that you have rubbed off on us is the ability to be faithful. I pray encourage your people. I pray that people get the vision of what it means to be a faithful Christian. That it's something that everybody could do. And yet we find out the Bible says, in the long run, it's a rare thing. We thank you, Lord, whether a person has some abilities, many abilities, everybody can be faithful. I thank you that, Lord, that your grace is always sufficient. There's never an excuse because you can always help us even in our failures. We can always get up. You forgive us of our sin. You cleanse us. Lord, you allow us to get back up and go forward so we can be faithful. And Lord, so I pray we'd be encouraged to be faithful. And I pray for those whose heart has become unfaithful. They're looking looking. They're looking for something new. They're distracted. Their heart has been taken away. Wandering. I pray that, Lord, they will see it is the root of a loss of life, of service to you. Lord, help them to get back to being faithful. To be in victory over all the issues of life. All the things that battle against a person being faithful. so often just comes to reality in simple things, reading your Bible every day, or simple things like being in church every service, or being a witness for God. Lord, help us to be faithful people. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And first of all, I want you to be encouraged. Maybe you think you're not very important. Maybe you think that you don't make much difference. First of all, I want to encourage you. The church is made up of faithful people. That's what makes the church strong. You don't have to be great, but you can be faithful. And that's what makes a church strong. I want to encourage you in that. But maybe the devil's tried to distract you and take your eyes off the goal. And in your heart is wandering. Your heart is wandering. You lost that spirit of faithfulness. And you say, the Lord spoke my heart tonight. I can see that God's grace is sufficient. I've allowed something in my life to take away my heart. And the devil's behind it, and sin is behind it. My own nature is behind it. And I'm about to lose what's one of the most important things in life, being faithful. Maybe your attendance at church is sporadic. You've lost your faithfulness to Sunday school. Somehow, it's an option. Maybe it's taking place in other areas of your life, reading your Bible. Maybe it's affecting your service for God. Not reliable, not faithful. Not living the life. I say, God's spoke in my heart. I want to get those things right with God tonight. I'm making a decision to get them right with God. I'm going to get back on the path of being a faithful Christian. An uplifted hand, you say, before the Lord, humbly. Say, God spoke in my heart, and I'm doing business with God tonight. Anyone here tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? God spoke in my heart. God spoke in my heart. I'm doing business with God. I want to be a faithful Christian. Praise the Lord. And others. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, the people of God can be encouraged. And many will be encouraged in this very important area. That really, in the long run, will mean everything at the judgment day. And so, Lord, encourage them, strengthen them. Might they find the grace of God is sufficient in every trial, everything that is so difficult that would be distracting. And, Lord, help them to see the enemies that would take away their spirit of faithfulness and to be very, very firm in getting them out of their life. And so, Lord, we commit your people to you. Bless them, encourage them, lead them in understanding and obedience in what you've spoken to them about. In Jesus' name, amen.